welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The natural beauty of the Sierra is often the inspiration for artistic expression. And this month, poetic musings will take center stage, shining a light on human experiences some of us may never know, like what it's like to live on the edge of society. Who belongs? Poetry in public places is one of the many conversations that will take place at this year's Sierra Poetry Festival. The full day of poetry readings, workshops, and presentations takes place in Grass Valley on April 18th. Eliza Tudor is the president of the Nevada County Arts Council and directs the Poetry Festival. She joins us today to discuss the festival, of course, along with poet and memoirist Marcelo Hernandez Castillo. He is the co-founder of UndocuPoets and will be leading a conversation during the event. Welcome to you both.
Thank you, Vicky.
Thanks, Vicky. It's great to be here with you.
What a treat. Okay, so Eliza, you've actually been celebrating poetry in Nevada County since World Poetry Day. If no one knew, now you know. It is March 21st, so you have been celebrating poetry with, of course, events continuing throughout the month of April. What is it about this art form that continues to appeal to just people of all generations?
Well, I may be festival director, but I know nothing about poetry, which is why we have Marcelo with us today. But I will say I love poetry. And often at the beginning, when we created this festival 10 years ago with the then California Poet Laureate Dana Joya, it was simply that we recognized a community in need of focus, and that with so many literary artists of all different kinds, whether it's spoken word artists, writers, poets, we needed a focus within our community. We called it Sierra Poetry Festival because we wanted to draw from our wider literary community outside county lines. And in the 10 years that we've been presenting and welcoming different poets from across the nation, actually, as well as celebrating our local literary scene, it's really been a phenomenal thing, a very welcoming space for some of the most important conversations of our day, as well as a sort of luscious, delicious delight in the word itself. Wouldn't you say so, Marcelo?
Oh, I would think so. I mean, Marcelo, yes, please chime in. I'd love to learn more about your background and what drew you to poetry in the first place.
Yeah, thank you, Vicky. I mean, there's just silences that are more accessible that slow you down in poetry than, say, in a sculpture. And I go to sculpture for a different reason than I go to poetry. And I go to music for a different reason than I go to painting. And the plasticity of language is something that slows me down enough to not have to bring the rest of the world in for at least a second. Mm-hmm.
That's, like, just so powerful. I mean, not only are you a poet, but you also founded a group called UndocuPoets, which supports and promotes the works of poets who are currently or formerly undocumented in the United States. How long has this organization been around, and what sparked this?
Yeah, we just celebrated our 10-year anniversary last year, actually. We released an anthology, and it seems like, for me, it was something that came second nature to ask and to question, why does it have to be this way? The contest that we originally set out to reverse their guidelines stated it as if it was written in stone, you know. But these rules, these regulations aren't in stone. You know, just as poetry, the elasticity of poetry, I think it was just natural to ask, well, why is this guideline in place? Why has it been in place for 100 years? The Pulitzer Prizes, you know, changed after 100 and something years. They can do that.
Hmm. I mean, you're also a memoirist, and you did write the memoir Children of the Land. It was an NPR Best Book of the Year. It was a 2020 International Latino Book Award finalist. Tell us about this memoir.
Well, it very much wasn't poetry. It was an entrance into a world of prose that I think allowed me to stand in front of the words rather than moving not behind them as in hiding, but behind them through metaphor. And suddenly I had to stand in front of words in a way that I didn't before. That experience was challenging and new, but that newness I welcomed. I welcome the newness of not being trained in memoir and throwing spaghetti on the walls and having fun with it at the same time as revealing things about me that I hadn't really known before.
I mean, it just seems like artistic expression is like in your DNA, you know, from whether you're writing a memoir to sculptures to poetry. Has it always been deeply embedded in your life?
It has, and I'm fortunate that I found it at a time that I did, because honestly, if I was, I used to work construction, I used to be a janitor, I used to work odd jobs, but the outlet was still there. If I was a mason, I'd be a creative mason with mortar. it's not something that you necessarily choose.
Yeah. And you live in Marysville, which is about 45 minutes north of us in Yuba County. You serve as the Yuba and Sutter County Poet Laureate. Tell us about art in this community.
It's vibrant. It really is. And the Sierra Poetry Festival is just one small example of that. It's there. You just have to look for it. And if it's not there, then you create it. Mm.
And you have a bit of poetry to share with us?
I do.
I would love to listen.
Yeah, this is a poem ending with a line by the poet Larry Levis, Central California poet. And it's titled A Brief Note on Beauty. A Brief Note on Beauty. And to ask what is on the other side of beauty assumes that there is a beginning and an end to it, which assumes that there was a time before beauty, before something could be beautiful, which sounds absurd. Because isn't everything at least a little beautiful all the time, even when it's mostly not? Perhaps there are things that live outside of beauty. Likewise, I don't think there is a time after it. If such were the case, wouldn't everything come in twos? If such is the case, perhaps one cancels the other, and what is left over, the remnants of that piercing sum, the exasperated feeling of joy. I have moved through the world, believing that if I keep walking, I'll come across something I cannot explain nor name, and will put it in my pocket, with each of its small lips in tow whispering my name. It's true, beauty has only three possible endings, and only one of them is bearable.
Mm. Thank you so much. I mean, Eliza, I'm just imagining this in the Sierra foothills in Grass Valley, and what a magical experience. I mean, this is just a little taste of what people are in for on April 18th. What else can people expect?
Well, firstly, I want to acknowledge, you know, on the one hand, I'm saying 10 years of Sierra Poetry Festival and talking about some of the most important conversations we have year on year of our time. And here's Marcelo, one of our favorite headliner poets, talking about how poetry brings with it pause. And I would say, for sure, Sierra Poetry Festival's main stage event on Saturday, April the 18th, is about pausing for a moment amidst the loudness of the world and the crudity of the world. It's a gathering of people who may be astonishing poets in their own right professionally, and they may be just starting out on their journey and have never picked up a pen before. This is a space to do that. We offer workshops throughout the day that are generative. Some of them are not generative. They can be dialogues, open dialogues or presentations, but many of them are generative. We have some astonishing poets come. Former U.S. Poet Laureate Robert Haas will be joining us. It's extraordinary, with Brenda Hillman, who in her own right is an astonishing author of 11 books of poetry. Major Jackson's flying in from Tennessee. He's a regular faculty member with the Community of Writers. That's also up in the High Sierra, which is incredible. And then we have some marvelous poets from the Bay Area coming, Francesca Bell and Dan Belm. You're going to be in conversation with Laurel Chen and Oswaldo Vargas, who are both incredible poets in their own right, aren't they, Marcelo?
Yeah, and of all the guests, I think I know personally 90% of them, and one of them is responsible for why I became a poet, and is the only poem that I've ever memorized. Ashamedly so, I should memorize more poems, but it's such a small community that is welcoming. But everywhere I go, when there's poetry, I feel like I don't have to sometimes say everything at once all the time.
Mm-hmm. You know, writing can often be a solitary experience for a good part of the process. Mm-hmm. And of course, you're presenting, you are a poet, but what does it add to be part of a festival and be surrounded by people where you know, like, virtually all of them in this really, like, powerful and special space?
It fills in the gaps where the poem is silent, I think, when you're gathering in community. The times when there's a break between the line, if you're in front of somebody else, that break is filled with the person's presence. I mean, it sounds weird to say, but if I haven't spoken my poem out loud, then I haven't really engaged with it. And if I haven't spoken it in front of somebody else, then I don't think it's completely, fully ever finished.
Mm. You mentioned that, you know, you've had many past lives career-wise. You have worn many hats. And then there was that person, or maybe those few people that really inspired you to become a poet. If there's someone listening who might just feel intimidated by poetry, maybe they didn't experience it much in their life and they feel that it's just kind of out of their realm, but they do want to give it a shot and they're interested, how should they approach it? Where does one start?
Well, I always tell my students, because I'm teaching here in Sacramento State, a poetry workshop. Shout out to my students. But I tell them, you don't have to understand a poem, you just have to experience it. And I think the standards for experiencing a symphony, I also correspond to poetry. I don't have to understand music theory to enjoy a symphony. I don't have to enjoy certain things and know the rules to enjoy them. And poetry is the same way.
Hmm. Well, Marcelo and Eliza, thank you so much for spending some time with us on Insight.
It's such a pleasure. But hang on, Marcelo has to tell us who he was so inspired to start writing poetry by. Come on.
Oh, Brenda Hillman.
It was Brenda Hillman. I'm so glad you said that. That's great.
Thank you for asking that. The million-dollar question. Eliza Tudor is the president of the Nevada County Arts Council and directs the Sierra Poetry Festival. Marcelo Hernandez Castillo is an author, poet, and professor. He is one of the main stage presenters at this year's event. The Sierra Poetry Festival takes place next Saturday, April 18th, in Grass Valley. There are also a variety of readings and open mics planned throughout Nevada County this weekend and throughout the month as part of SPF Fringe. You can find out more information on our website. And that is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast on Apple or Spotify. And if you want to email us, we're at insight@capradio.org. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.